It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello, hello. You are listening to News to Me. As I just said, it is 1907 UTC. We were just listening to SDF's very own Red Martian. The song there is called Fusion. Fusion? Fusion? F-U-S-E-N. So check that out. I'm pretty sure that you can still buy Red Martian CDs on the SDF store. Don't hold me to that, but if I remember right, I think that's where I got them. Actually, no, I remember. I got my SDF records I bought them off of eBay. Somebody was selling an SDF, all the SDF records or CDs all at once. So I bought them. Anyway, support SDF. Buy direct. Today is January the 9th, 2022. 2023. Oops. I knew I'd mess up eventually. It is January 9th, 2023, and it is 1908 UTC. So in just 22 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and then at 20 hours is Harry Larry and Mix Remix. So definitely we're sticking around, at least for a little while there, listen to all of that. Howdy Stug, and Exile, and X1, and Ratsu, and Ronald, and everybody in comm. X1, Exile, Ratsu. Anyway, I'm sorry if I missed you. But hello, hello. Tobe, of course, always around. And shout out to Jazzmaz, who's almost always listening, if not always in comm. But hello. If you want to hang out, you can jump into SDF. All you got to do is, into comm, all you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org and then log in. If you don't have an account, you can create one right there. And then once you're logged in, launch comm, just type com and then press enter, and you press G for go to, and once you do that, you'll find yourself in the Anon radio room with all the cool people. Excuse me there, sorry, I had a frog in my throat. Shout out to Froggy Me, wherever you are. Alright, hey, and Jeff's here. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. And shout out to all the other regulars who may pop in here, like Cinesphere and Scoffishinato and GTC and all of those guys. Thank you so much for being here and hanging out. We have tons of news today. I'll try and get through at least the most depressing and horrible news because really there's always so much going on in the world. Being aware of what's happening in other countries can be pretty helpful, and that's why we start pretty much the same way we always do, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right, world news. We begin in Africa. In Nigeria, security forces rescue 6 victims abducted for waiting for a train. Security forces have rescued 6 of the 32 people who were abducted at a train station in Edo State. This is in southern Nigeria. Among those taken were station staff and passengers who were waiting for a train. A suspect has also been arrested in connection. There have been increasing concerns about attacks in the country. The latest incident comes in the month before a presidential election, where security is a major campaign issue. Reports say that on Saturday, a large number of gunmen armed with AK-47s shot in the air as they entered the station in Ugubin, before seizing the travelers and staff and taking them to a nearby forest. Some of those who managed to flee sustained bullet wounds. Eyewitnesses have been quoted as saying, one woman with a baby also reportedly escaped and found her way to a neighboring community where she's been rescued. The kidnappers also released 2 children, as it was believed they felt the children will slow down their movements. Edo State Government spokesman Chris Osa Nihikari said that many people had started using the train as the local road had become a no-go area, with huge ransoms being collected from families of kidnapped victims. The federal government has condemned the abduction of the passengers, describing it as despicable and utterly barbaric. Incidents of kidnapping for ransom, as well as gunmen targeting communities for political reasons, has been on the rise in recent years in Nigeria. In December, a major rail service linking the capital of Abuja and the northern city of Kaduna resumed 9 months after at least 9 passengers died on a gun attack on the train line. Many others were taken away as hostages, and the last one was only released in October. Insecurity is one of the key issues for candidates ahead of Nigeria's general elections in February, when a successor to President Buhari will be chosen. Let me see. Oh, I guess I can't. I went to, I was trying to share. Nope, can't do it. I was going to try and share a the map, but Edo State is in the south, but it's not coastal. Nigeria is there. If you remember, we if you remember when I was talking about the about Africa, and I was like, it's kind of the cleft where the if it was a boob sticking out into the Atlantic Ocean, right there at the bottom, in the under boob part. That's where Nigeria is at, I think. So anyway, sorry, I can't share the map in com or with you online. So. Oh, sorry, Ronald. I've been trying to hold the mic more consistently in one spot, so I might be talking too loud or over-modulating. Just let me know if ever the audio quality gets terrible, and I'll play around with the settings here. All right, so that's the kidnapping story in Nigeria. But don't worry, we still have plenty more. There's probably 4 stories here. Out of Nigeria. If we jump back into our bookmarks, now we talked about trains, now it's time to talk about buses. Buses in ruins after dozens killed in Senegal road incident. At least 38 people have died and scores were injured when 2 buses collided near the town of Kaffrine in central Senegal on Sunday, according to President of the Fire Services. In response to the grave accident, President Macky Sall announced 3 days of national mourning. In a tweet Sunday, he also said there had been 40 deaths and many serious injuries. I'm deeply saddened by the tragic road accident. I extend my heartfelt condolences to the families of the victims and wish a speedy recovery to the injured. The Senegalese prosecutor said in a separate statement that 38 people had been killed. Colonel Cheikh Fall, who is in charge of operations for the West African country's National Fire Brigade, had earlier told AFP that 38 people died and 87 were injured. The accident took place around 3:15 a.m. local time, so an overnight kind of bus, Sunday morning. Fall told AFP, adding that all the victims had been evacuated to a hospital and medical center. The wreckage and demolished buses have since been cleared and normal traffic has resumed on the road. The governor and local officials have already visited the scene. Road accidents are common in Senegal, largely because of driver indiscipline, poor roads, and decrepit vehicles. However, this is one of the heaviest death tolls from a single accident in recent years. In October 2020, at least 16 people were killed and 15 more injured when a bus collided with a refrigerated lorry. The bus, with a 60-seat capacity, was heading to Rosso near the border of Mauritania, the fire brigade said. So, that's for the 20 people. So, no real word on why this bus accident happened. Hey, Quentin, welcome, welcome. All right, thank you. So yeah, we'll boost that a little bit. I think that's usually turned all the way up. That might be the problem. All right, let's get Quentin some minuses here real quick. Real quick is I've learned a southern phrase. Anywho, let's keep on moving. There's other death and destruction to report. Oh, don't you forget it. But let's talk about arrests first. In Iran, protests, let's get the words in the right order. Dozens of people demonstrated outside a prison in Iran overnight. Amid reports, authorities were preparing to execute another 2 anti-government protesters. Opposition activists posted videos showing people chanting slogans in front of Rajai Shah Jail in the city of Karaj. The mother of Mohammed Gobadolo, one of the 2 men at risk of execution, appealed for clemency at the gathering. 2 protesters were hanged on Saturday, prompting international condemnation. The UN Human Rights Office deplored the shocking executions of Mohammad Mahdi Karami and Syed Mohammad Hosseini, which it said followed unfair trials based on forced confessions. A revolutionary court found the men guilty of corruption on Earth over their alleged involvement in the killing of a member of a paramilitary Basij force in Karaj in November. Both denied the charge and said they were tortured. They were the third and fourth people to be executed in connection with protests that erupted in September, following the death in custody of a woman detained by morality police for allegedly wearing her hijab improperly. So far, at least 519 protesters and 68 security personnel have been killed in the unrest. There are another 19,290 protesters that have been arrested, and 11 of them are under the impending threat of a death sentence. So I'll let you know if and when those people pass away, or what's going on there. Oh, fan. Thanks, Quentin. Appreciate you. Hey, and Tobe has come back. And PJP, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out and on radio. All right. Back we go. What more? Let's go back to the pool. Pull out some more sadness. Interpol has arrested a wanted Mozambican kidnapping kingpin. A 50-year-old Mozambican suspected mastermind of a lucrative kidnapping ring, as we learned earlier. As we saw, there were several people kidnapped in Nigeria recently. But it's a lucrative business in northern Africa there, or that part of Africa. A 50-year-old Mozambican suspected mastermind of a lucrative kidnapping ring for ransom has been arrested by Interpol in South Africa. Ismail Malude Ramos Nangi is suspected of organizing kidnappings for ransom in Mozambique, which can reach several million dollars in the country affected by the phenomenon for the past 20 years, which targets in particular businessmen and their family. The man was arrested during a raid on Saturday evening at an address in Centurion near the capital of Pretoria, South African police said in a statement. A firearm, cartridges, 5 cell phones, as well as several bank cards and SIM cards were seized. Mozambique is asking for his extradition. He's to be presented to the court on Monday. So, we'll see how that goes there. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. Enough Africa news. Let's get on into the rest of the world. In Israel, a pretty alarming, not as alarming as killing all the kids that they can see, but Israeli security minister bans Palestinian flag flying in public. Israel's national security minister has ordered police to ban Palestinian flags from public places in the latest crackdown by the country's new hardline government. Itamar Ben-Gvir's orders follow a series of other punitive steps against the Palestinians since taking office last month. Today, I directed the Israel police to enforce the prohibition of flying any PLO flag that shows identification with a terrorist organization from the public sphere and to stop any incitement against the State of Israel, Ben-Gvir announced on Twitter. Benjamin Netanyahu's new government has moved quickly against the Palestinians in retaliation for a Palestinian push for the UN's highest judicial body to give its opinion on Israel's 55-year military occupation of the West Bank. They do more than occupy it, that's for sure. It has withheld nearly $40 million in Palestinian tax revenues and said it would transfer the money to victims of Palestinian militant attacks, stripped Palestinian officials of VIP privileges, and even broke up a meeting of Palestinian parents discussing their children's education, claiming it was unlawfully funded by the Palestinian Authority. Ben-Gvir is a far-right firebrand known for his anti-Arab rhetoric, drew widespread international condemnation when he visited Jerusalem's most holy site last week. We talked about that story. The day they killed like a 15-year-old, I believe, or killed somebody who was going to the funeral for a 15-year-old that they killed, who was going to the funeral for another kid they killed. Anyhow. I'm getting worked up. Let's listen to a little bit more Red Martian Fusion, and then we'll pump back in.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for listening and hanging out with us today. You've got, just a couple minutes. I guess I should know. We've got about 7 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tove happens. That show airs every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. Well, actually, 6 minutes now. But every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. If you hear Tove talking, it's probably 19:30, between 19:30 and 20 hours UTC on and on radio. So check that out. And at 20 hours today is Harry Larry. Of course, you can always go to anonradio.net or press the equal sign in com and you can see what's coming up and who's on the air now. So Rick Nix Remix, Organized Chaos. You can see all of that kind of stuff. See what shows are coming up and all of the happy deals. Don't know what I got there. On the equal sign in com, or, oh wait, what are we going to, Linux Mint 19.3. I don't know what's happening. Com is an adventure. Com is a wonderland. Wonderland. In England, they've decided to ban single-use plastic cutlery and plates. Single-use items like plastic cutlery, plates, and polystyrene trays will be banned in England, the government's confirmed. It's not clear when the ban will come into effect, but it follows similar moves by Scotland and Wales. Environmental Secretary Therese Coffey said the move would help protect the environment for future generations. Campaigners welcomed the ban, but called for a wider-ranging plastic reduction strategy. Government figures suggest that 1.1 billion single-use plates and more than 4 billion pieces of plastic cutlery are used in England every year. Plastic waste often does not decompose and collapse in landfills for many years. Although it might be useful in terms of food hygiene, it can also end up as litter, polluting soil and water. Of course, when they mention doesn't decompose for many years in landfills, they just mean decompose to the point where we don't see it. It still turns into those microplastics that we talk so much about. The confirmation of the move from the Department for Environment, Food, and Rural Affairs, or DEFRA, follows a long consultation, which will be published on Saturday, January the 14th. Each person in England uses an average of 18 single-use cups, plates, and 37 items of plastic cutlery every year. Just 10% is recycled. Ms. Coffey is set to ban a range of single-use plastic items, mainly relating to takeaway food and drinks. I'm determined to drive forward action to tackle this issue head-on. We've already taken major steps in recent years, but we know there's more to do. This new ban will have a huge impact to stop the pollution of billions of pieces of plastic. I recently got a box of various, it's basically like a sample box of compostable plates and cutlery, because I was like, right now I just wash my plates when I cook, but I've been feeling more lazy. I've been kind of being a bit more of a bum, and, when I bought paper plates, the last time I bought paper plates, I really felt bad about, all the waste going on there. So anyway, this is interesting news. It's good news for the environment. And we've got time for just one more story. So I'm going to tell you about a pee story because this is just a weird one. And I guess we'll have to talk about the other stuff like, nuclear, decommission stuff and the right to repair case for John Deere later. And also the Brazil tech. There was the January 6th style attack in Brazil. But the important part to get out is Air India has been embarrassed by a urination scandal. The head of India's Tata Sons conglomerate has expressed anguish over an incident in which a drunk man allegedly urinated on a female passenger on one of their flights. The incident took place in late November on a Tata-run Air India flight, but it was reported only last week when the woman filed a complaint. The news led to massive outrage in India with criticism of how Air India handled the incident. The man was arrested over the weekend. He was also fired from his job at U.S. banking firm Wells Fargo. In a statement issued on Sunday, Tata Sons chairman N. Chandrasekharan said the airline should have been swifter in its response. "We will review and repair every process to prevent or address any incidents of such unruly nature," he said. The statement came a day after Air India chief executive Campbell Wilson expressed regret and pain over its customers suffering due to the not condemnable acts of their co-passengers. The incident took place on November 26th in the business class cabin of a New York Delhi flight, a New York to Delhi flight. The accused Shankar Mishra was allegedly drunk when he apparently urinated on one of his co-passengers, a 72-year-old woman. "My clothes, shoes, and bag were completely soaked in urine," the woman wrote in her complaint. The woman said she asked the crew for a change of seat, but was told that nothing was available and was instead offered a small seat used by staff. She alleged that the crew also brought the man to her against her wishes so he could apologize. The woman described the flight as the most traumatic of her life and said the airline only issued her a partial refund of her ticket. He told the news channel NDVT that he had also written a complaint to Air India on the day of the incident, but it went nowhere. A doctor who was sitting next to her. After the incident, Air India formed an internal committee to investigate the complaint. So, yeah. next time you fly, at least you weren't that lady, right? Anyway, please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and I'll see you tomorrow. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC.
Dubious Goals Committee. 7.